Alright, so this morning I'm going to discuss something which is, I think, a fascinating topic about the nature of the transmission of the Oral Torah, and I really want to try and get to an understanding of a very fundamental question, which I hope everyone has thought of at some point, which is that why is the Oral Torah oral? Today, Torah Shebaal Peh, we have it all written down, but even that remains, you know, the Masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh is always something that's learned from a Rebbe, of a Rebbe-Talmud relationship. There's this aspect of Torah which is meant to be Baal Peh. And the question is, why was that the ideal setup of the Torah? Now, we discussed previously that there is a certain aspect of the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh, or of the Torah which is not written down, which is unlimited, which could not be written down because it exists in the unlimited permutations of anything that ever might come up. So the number of cases of halakha which could ever come up is, you know, pretty much unlimited, and therefore it's uninscribable. However, we also mentioned that certainly according to the Rambam, that there is a set distinct body of knowledge called Torah Shebaal Peh, which is finite and which can even be completed. You could finish Torah Shebaal Peh. And that being the case, what's the point, what's the goal, what's the idea of having an aspect of Torah which is specifically meant to not be written down? Why is that the ratzon of the Torah? Why is that the desired method to have the Torah set up that way? So the Rambam, in the next section of Introduction to the Mishnah Torah, writes, V'hamitzvah shehi perish haTorah lo kasva alatziva bal zakenim u'yoshua u'lashar kol Yisrael. So says the Rambam, and the mitzvah, which is, as he mentioned before, the drasha at the beginning, which was the Esnalachayas Luchos Eben V'Torah V'Hamitzvah, and the mitzvah is the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the Pirush, which is the explanation of the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is the, as we explained in previous weeks, is the explanation of how to execute the Torah Shebaal Peh, is what the Torah Shebaal Peh is. So that mitzvah, which is the Pirush of the Torah, lo kasa, is not written down, Alatziva bala zakenim Yeshua l'shar kol Yisrael. He commanded it to the zakenim and to Yeshua and to the rest of Bnei Yisrael. Now, right away, we already know that the Rambam is not simply giving a historical historical account of how Torah was communicated to Bnei Yisrael. Because we saw last week, the Rambam brings down the Gemara about how the process through which Moshe told the Torah to Klal Yisrael. First he told it just to Aharon, and then he told it to Aharon and Aharon's sons, then he told it to Aharon and Aharon's sons and Zakenim, and then he told it to all of Klal Yisrael. And then Moshe left, and Aharon told it to, and the whole procedure, right? So this whole thing, Yehoshua, first of all, was not part of it, and Aharon was. So the Rambam is seemingly not giving the historical story here, so we'll have to see exactly what this is. But so, he says, Shenemar askal davar shanohi mitzavestem oso tishmoru lasos lo tosef alav lo sigrami menu. So meaning that Moshe was mitzava all of it. Umibneze nikras Torah Shebaal Peh. And that was not written, it was just told to them, and that's why it's called Torah Shebaal Peh. Af al pi shelo niftava Torah Shebaal Peh, even though the Torah Shebaal Peh was not written down, limda Moshe Rabbeinu kula v'beis dino l'shivim zakenim. Moshe Rabbeinu taught all of it to the shivim zakenim, to the 70 elders in his beis din. So a couple of questions right off the bat on this second line there. First of all, the phrase af al pi, even though, seems very out of place here. Even though it was not written down, he told it to the Shivim Zakenim. Because it's not written down, therefore he told it to the Shivim Zakenim. If he didn't tell it to the... If it's not written down, then, you know, he has to tell it to someone. He's not taking it to the grave. So what is the Rambam saying? Even though it was not written down, it was given over to the Zakenim. Question number one. Question number two, is that the Rambam just said in the first line that we read today that the Parish of the Torah did not write it down, but rather he told it to Zakenim, to Yeshua, and all of Yisrael. Now says the Rambam, even though he didn't write it down, he taught it to the Zakenim. So, first of all, what's he adding with this? What's the additional point here? Seems to be, and second of all, where did Yeshua and the rest of Klal Yisrael suddenly go? First of all, first he told us that he gave it over to all of Klal Yisrael, Yeshua and the Zakenim and all of Yisrael, and now he says that he taught it to the Zakenim in his Beis Din. So, what exactly is what's this new point? First, what's it adding, and why is it limited to the Zakenim? The third thing is, you might have noticed that there's these spattering of underlines throughout the rest of the page here, which is that in the rest of the Rambam is next going to go on, and we'll go through some of this in the coming week, some of the interesting things here, but that the Rambam now goes on to list the chain of Masorah, and he says that first the Torah is given to Eli, and then Eli taught it to Shmuel, and Shmuel taught it to David, and David taught it to Achiah Shiloni, and Achiah Shiloni taught it to Eliyahu, and he goes through the whole thing. But if you notice, in each one of them it says that Shmuel received the Torah from Eli and his Beis Din. David received the Torah from Shmuel and his Beis Din. Achiah Shiloni received it from David and his Beis Din. Eliyahu received it from Achiah Shiloni and his Beis Din. Every step of the Masirah, of the transmission of Torah from one generation to the next, each subsequent generation received it from the previous generation's Beis Din. So the Rambam seems to be repeatedly emphasizing a role of Beis Din in the transmission of the Torah Shebaal Peh, as long as there was a Beis Din Hagadol, a Yoshev Belishkas Hagadis, as long as the Sanhedrin was in Yerushalayim. We see that the Rambam and everything, and I actually stopped, the Rambam actually continues after a few lines when he gets back to Antignos Ishsocho, he picks back up with the Beis Din. So as long as there was a Beis Din Hagadol in the Lishkas Hagadis, there was a transmission of the Torah through the Beis Din Hagadol. So exactly what is the significance of this? So we're going to see this point more in depth, more clearly. But the first thing that I want to point out is just the phrasing the Rambam says in those two phrases which we started with, which seem to be a repetition with a slight variation. So in the first one, the Rambam says that he didn't write it, but rather he was mitzava it, he commanded it to the Zakenim, Yeshua, and the rest of the nation. In the second one, he says that even though he didn't write it down, he was limda, he taught it to the Beis Din, in his Beis Din, to the Shivim Zakenim. So in the first one, he was mitzava the Torah, and in the second one, he was limed HaTorah, he taught the Torah. So there seem that these two aspects in the giving over of Torah Shebaal Peh, there's one part which is mitzaveh, and there's one point which is limeid. There's one point which is the commanding the Torah Shebaal Peh, and one point which is the teaching the Torah Shebaal Peh. If you turn the page, you see this same distinction. Again, this is the first halakha of Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Aleph, Halakha Aleph. The Rambam writes here, Beis Din Hagadol Shirushalayim came Iker Torah Shebaal Peh. The Beis Din Hagadol, which sits in Yerushalayim, they are the source of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Haim Amud HaHorah, they are the pillar of instruction. Umehem Chok Umishpat Yotzei L'Kol Yisrael, from them, direction of the laws goes out to all of Bnei Yisrael. V'aleihem Hiftich HaTorah, we'll get back to that phrase soon. And the Torah trusted them. The Torah was entrusted to them, or the Torah depended on them. Shenamar, he quotes a pasuk, and the last line he says, "V'chol ha'ma'amin b'Moshe Rabbeinu b'Torasso." Anyone who believes in Moshe and in his Torah is chayav, required lismoch ma'ase hadas aleihem or aleihem, to depend on them for religious acts, for the acts of how you carry out the doctrine of Torah, and to rely on them. So says the Rambam again, two things. One of them is to act according to their instruction, and the second one is to rely on them. So then we seem to have these two aspects, that there's one aspect of Torah, which is the instruction, and another one is the reliance on Beis Din to be the depository, to be the definitive and authoritative source of what Torah is, of what Torah Sh'bal Peh is. And this is the makor for the Rambam in this point, that this point that Sanhedrin is the source of Torah Sh'bal Peh. You can turn the page, but you don't have to fold it back, because we're going to go back to this page to the page before in a minute. But the Gemara, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, seems to say this pretty clearly. It's going through the halakh of Zakin Mamre, which is that a Zakin Mamre is means literally rebellious elders, talking about the Talmud Chacham who argues with Beis Din, and even after being ruled against, continues to teach his opinion as halakha. So the Mishnah goes through the whole procedure. The Zakin Mamre, he has an argument, they go to the local Beis Din. If the local Beis Din has a Masorah, so then they say, this is we have this Masorah, if he accepts it. If not, then they go to the next Beis Din, goes through the whole hierarchy of the Court of Appeals in Halacha, and eventually they get to the Beis Din who sits at the gate of the Beis Hamikdash, and they don't know the answer. Then it says Eluv Eluv for all of them, everyone who's been involved in this whole dispute with all the Batei Dinim, and all of them, they all go to the Beis Din Agadol Shebelishkas Agadis. They all go to the highest court, which sits in the Lishkas Agadis. Shemimenu Yotza Torah L'Kol Yisrael. That from there comes out all of Torah to all of Yisrael. Shenemar Minamakom Aruah Asher Yivchar Hashem. That the Torah comes out from that place that Hashem has chosen. We have Kimi Tzion Teitzei Torah, right? That Torah comes out from Tzion, from the Mishkan, or from the Mikdash, is the source of Torah. So the Beis Din Agadol, which sat in the Lishkas Agadis, they are the source, and they are the final say on Torah Sh'bal Peh, right? If Zakin Mamre comes and argues on something which is Mefurish in the Torah, he comes and says that there's no mitzvah of tzitzis or something like that. It's a whole separate discussion. When they're having an argument and how to explain the Torah, how to darshan the Torah, they're having a dispute in Torah Sh'bal Peh. That's where this parsha comes up, that's where this discussion comes up, and they eventually get to the Beis Din Agadol. And the Beis Din Agadol, they are the Misham Yotzei Torah, the Mimenu Yotzei Torah Kol Yisrael. They are the source of Torah Sh'bal Peh for all of Kol Yisrael. So the Rambam is describing that Beis Din Agadol and Yerushalayim, they were the source of Torah Sh'bal Peh. All of Hora'ah, all of instruction of how to keep the Torah comes from them. And there are two elements of what that means. Part number one is, in terms of how do you keep the Torah, how are you meant to perform the mitzvos, so the ultimate bottom line of what does Torah Sh'bal Peh say is what Beis Din Agadol says. Beis Din Agadol is the determining body of what Torah Sh'bal Peh is, and the Rambam, we'll see later in the Hakdama, the Rambam makes this point in a few places, but the Rambam says that not only is Beis Din Agadol the final authority in terms of being machriya, in terms of concluding what the opinion of Torah Sh'bal Peh, the Masorah, is, but also in creating new drushas. The Beis Din Agadol in Yerushalayim was allowed to, using the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatorah Nidreshes Bahem, using the 13 rules that were given at Har Sinai, Beis Din is allowed to create new drushas that didn't exist before them. They are the source of Torah Sh'bal Peh. They are able to create Dinim De'oraisa, Torah Halakas. They're not Derabbanans, they're not rabbinical law. They can create De'oraisa mitzvos based on the Yud Gimel Midos. That's what it means. They are the body which is empowered to be the source of Torah Sh'bal Peh, both in terms of what is the Masorah and how do you do it. But so the part number one is, if there's a question of how are you supposed to perform a certain mitzvah, So, Beis Din HaGadol and Yerushalayim are the ones who are entrusted with, who are authorized to make that final decision. They are the authority which says, this is how you carry out the Torah. Step number two, and this is the second part of what the Rambam is describing in both what we saw in the Hakdama and what we're seeing here, is that they are the ones who are responsible for the transmission of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Beis Din HaGadol is the depository of Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh remains entrusted to Beis Din, and they are the ones responsible for maintaining the integrity of Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, the step number one, the Rambam said, if you go back to the first page, that he was mitzaveh, the Zekanim and Yeshua and all of Esau. That's something that's a national thing. In order for Torah to be given to Am Esau, so Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzaveh. There was the Torah Shebichsav, which he handed over to them, and the Torah Shebaal Peh, which he was mitzaveh to them. He gave them the instruction, and now all of them received the Torah Shebichsav by receiving the Torah Shebichsav, and physical, actual Torah given to them, and an actual, you know, words and information that they received, and a Torah Shebaal Peh that they received, and they were mekabel by being told. That's the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh, that's instructed to you. So all of Klal Yisrael was instructed in Torah Shebaal Peh, and that is the onset of the Torah being followed according to the tzivoy, according to the instruction and the explanation of the Torah Shebaal Peh. But then there's step two, which the Rambam says, which is that the Torah Shebaal Peh was not written down, but rather Moshe Rabbeinu taught it in his Beis Din to the Shivim Zekanim. This is a separate point, very related, they're very intertwined, but this is a separate point, which is that that Torah Shebaal Peh was taught in the Beis Din, and they were entrusted, they were given charge of being responsible for the body of information which was Torah Shebaal Peh. And Beis Din received Torah Shebaal Peh, and then Beis Din gave Torah Shebaal Peh to the next Beis Din. And Torah Shebaal Peh was specifically the body of information, not the answer to specific shilas which came up. When a question came up, they also came to Beis Din and asked. But even if no one asked the question, Beis Din was responsible for transmitting and giving over to the next Beis Din in every generation the body of Torah Shebaal Peh, that entire corpus of what is the Mesorah of how Torah is meant to be carried out. Beis Din was the body responsible for maintaining that information and ensuring that that Mesorah was given over from one generation to the next.
Do we have that Beis Din today?
We do not have that Beis Din today. We do not have that Beis Din arguably since as early as Rabban Gamliel, when the Chachamim moved from the Lishkas Hagazis to Yavne, that when they moved, or I remember all the steps, the Gemara goes through 10 steps through which the Beis Din HaGadol moved, but as soon as they moved out of the Lishkas Hagazis, and they no longer had the authority to carry out the functions of Beis Din HaGadol, the Gemara actually says that they did that on purpose. There were too many murders going on, and Beis Din HaGadol was not interested in becoming executioners, and therefore they didn't want to have the authority to carry out Misas Beis Din, and therefore they moved out of the Lishkas Hagazis in order to not have the authority of Beis Din HaGadol. Once they're not Yoshev and Lishkas Hagazis, they do not have the power to execute capital punishment. So they moved out of that place, and as soon as they moved out of that place, everything which is the power of Beis Din HaGadol, they are no longer that body anymore. So as soon as they moved out of Lishkas Hagazis, even though it might have been the same people, but they're no longer Min HaMakom Asher Yivchar, they're no longer the body described as Mimenu Yotze Torah L'Kol Yisrael, the place from which Torah comes out to all of Yisrael, and they moved from there to Yavna, and from there to somewhere else, and eventually went into Galus. So we don't have that body today. So we have really part of the idea of the Mishnah and the Talmud is because we don't have that body today. But we're getting ahead of ourselves now. We'll get there in a few moments. But So that's the basic point here. There are these two bodies. Oh, I'm sorry. So Aleihem Hivticha Torah. The Torah trusted them. It was the Torah was relying on Beis Din to be the maintainers of Torah Sheba'al Peh. If you turn one more page, I guess at this point it's two more pages. On the last page here, so we have the Rambam here, and this is Chelek Aleph of Mor Nevochim in chapter Ayin Aleph, chapter 71. So the Rambam here is describing how disputes and variant traditions came up in Judaism, and he starts by saying that it's known that, you know, over time with the interference of foreign powers and the difficulty of having all of Bnei Yisrael be able to, or all of the Chachamim of Bnei Yisrael be able to convene and to properly give over the Torah from one generation to the next, that it became difficult to give over the Masorah, except for that which was written down. And the Rambam writes, "Ukvar yadata, it's already well known, ki afilu Torah shebal peh hamikubeles lo haisa ksuva lifnin, that the Torah bal peh, which we have received, was originally not written down. Kifi hatzivoy hamifursam ba'uma, according to the well-known instruction, Dvarim shamarti ofa al peh I atai rashayu amram biksav. That which I told you orally, you do not have permission, you do not have the right to write them, to say them in writing, meaning to write them down. You do not have the right to formulate them into writing, into specific codified phrases. And that's part of what we spoke about in one of the previous weeks, that the nature of Torah shebal peh, when we spoke about that, it's not called Torah Shebaal Peh because it's not written down, but it is not written down because it is Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is the part of Torah which is not meant to be formalized into specific phrases, even though it might be a specific body of information, but it's not meant to be formulated and formalized into specific words. It is only meant to be ideas. And that's why it's Torah Shebaal Peh is not just any Torah which is not written, but it's the part of Torah which is specifically not meant to be written. So Iatai Rashai La Omram Biksav, you're not allowed to say them in writing, meaning you're not allowed to formulate them into specific words. Vaharezuhi Tachlis Abachra B'Torah. And this was the, literally means the pinnacle of wisdom in the Torah. This was an incredibly astute thing for the Torah to do. Because this was a guard, this was a protection from that which eventually ended up happening. This distance eventually would happen in the Torah that we have, which was Kolomar Riboy Asfaros Vistapos Ashitos, which was many different, you know, lines of reasoning and different opinions coming up. The fact that there was a Torah Shebaal Peh was actually a method of limiting and protecting from these fragmented opinions and these diverging interpretations and all of these things. Having a Torah Shebaal Peh was actually the best form of protection against that. Why? He really says it in this line. We'll read it in the Umishpatim Bilti Berurim Sheyaru Basfaras Mechaber, and you end up having these sentences which are not entirely clear what they mean, which can end up happening with the explaining of what an author meant, which means that when you write something down, when something is given over into specific words, so you have now these specific words, and you have to figure out what they mean. And if words are not written in the exact perfect way to write them, to say it in such a way that there's no other way to understand it, confusion is bound to happen. That's why you'll have a Rajba, and there'll be six different pshatim and what the Rajba means, six different explanations of what is this Rajba trying to say. You have a Gemara, and you'll have 11 different ways that the Rishonim and Achronim learn this Gemara, because once it's formalized into this line, and now I have to figure out what does this line mean? So all of a sudden, when all I have is the words in front of me, and I have to figure out exactly what he meant, and if I have questions about, you know, how does it fit with this, or what if it's with this specific nuance, or this permutation of it, and now all I have is the words, and now I have to figure out what did the author mean? So now you'll end up with different people will come and they'll resolve the issues in different ways, or they'll understand the words different ways. You have different people read the same sentence with two entirely different understandings. Once it's written down, once it's formulated into a specific sentence, so now all you have is that sentence, and I just have to work with what I have, and I have to figure out what it means. But that was not the way the Torah did it. The Torah did not want to do that in order that we not end up at that. Elan nimsar hadavar b'kol zeh lebeis din agavol. The entire matter was handed over to the Beis Din HaGadol, Kemoshe Be'arnu B'chiburenu HaToratim, as we explained in our halachic compendiums, referring to the what we're reading the in the Yad, and the same point that he makes in the Hakdama to the Mishnah, U'kafisha Moral Kach Lashon HaTorah, and as the Torah itself indicates, and the Torah says that it will be Al Pi Hadavar Asher Yerucha, that according to the words that we instruct you, that you'll Balisa Alamakom, you go up to the Beis Din HaGadol, and you'll ask them, by having a Torah be a Torah Shebaal Peh, and by necessitating that it be a Torah Shebaal Peh, so the Torah is, by definition, is going to be of the nature that you have to go to the Chacham and ask him what it means. And you know what? Once you're talking to a person, and you're not stuck with, he's not going to repeat the same words, he's not going to say, and you ask him again, he'll say, he can explain to you what does that mean. If you have questions, you'll answer the questions and be able to say it in terms that you understand, according to the time and according to the place, according to the way which that message is given over to that individual. And that was exactly what we mentioned last time. That's why Torah Shebaal Peh is Torah Shebaal Peh, is not meant to be formulated in specific words, because Torah Shebaal Peh is meant to be the explanation of Torah Shebaksav, and something which is explanatory by definition is said over in the way in which you understand it. So to capture it in a specific phrase which is unique to this people, to these people in this time, to in this location, in this culture, in this mode of expression, is by definition limiting Torah Shebaal Peh to something which is no longer being communicated to the listener according to what the listener needs to hear in order to understand. The goal of having a Torah Shebaal Peh and forcing it to be a Torah Shebaal Peh ensured the ultimate clarity in the Masorah. There will always be the direct communication to explain exactly what do we mean when we say this. What exactly is the idea here? You'll be able to ask, you'll be able to and required to ask the question. And therefore, Torah Shebaal Peh was handed over specifically in each generation to Beis Din, and Beis Din was the only one who was given access to this entire body of information in order that Klal Yisrael, in order to carry out the Tzivoy, Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzaveh all of Klal Yisrael according to the Torah Shebaal Peh, in order to follow that Tzivoy, they are required to go to Beis Din Asher Hivtiyah Aleihem, as the Rambam says, that the Torah is trusting them to be the faithful conveyors of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, it becomes, the Torah set it up in such a way that interaction with those who have the information and can clearly give it over are the ones who you have to ask in order to have the in order to have an understanding of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So, therefore, Torah Shebaal Peh originally was not written, because every generation needs to learn it anew. Every generation is required to have their own understanding of Torah Shabbat Peh as it relates to them and as they understand it, as it can be explained to them in the terms which they understand. The derech of Torah Shabbat Peh is mechayev, obligates, requires the need for a shalshelas haTorah, for a chain of the Torah. And therefore, you have a chain of Beis Din to Beis Din of handing over the Torah Shabbat Peh. And this would have been the ideal forever. That ideally the Torah was meant to remain. The Torah Shabbat Peh was meant to remain a Torah Shabbat Peh. It was never meant to be written down. It was only because, as the Gemara says, that Rebbe saw that because of the Riboy Hatzaros, because of all of the impediments and the difficulties of life that Gullus was causing, and that the foreign powers who were persecuting the Jews, and it became more difficult for Torah Shabbat Peh to be handed over in such a way, the inherent trade-off, everyone realizes that by keeping it Baal Peh, you have the advantage that things will be clear. You have the disadvantage that if something's only in the memory of people, that it can be forgotten. So when things began to be forgotten, so then Rebbe Yehuda Nasi saw that it needed to be written down, which was not the way it was meant to be, and was really not even allowed. And the Gemara says that it was Eis Lasos Lashem Efiru Tarasefa, that it was a time to act because the Torah was being annulled, the Torah was being Chas V'Shalom detracted from, and therefore, in order to save the Torah, had to do something which was not really otherwise within the realm of what was permitted. So, it was in the point at which you're risking the forgetting of the Torah, you then had to write down the Torah into phrases which became formulated, which became defined, and now you have to know this line in the Mishnah. What does it mean? And now you have a Gemara in which the different opinions of how do I understand what's the opinion of this Mishnah? Who wrote it even? How do I know what the assumptions going into the Mishnah are? And now you have the Gemara trying through their Masora and through their knowledge to reconstruct what were all of the Yesodos, what were all the fundamentals that would have been the job of Beis Din to know if the Masora was still intact. The genius of the way in which the Torah Shabbat Sab was, the Torah Shabbat Peh was written down, was such that, as the Rambam explained, the chachma of having a Torah Shabbat Peh was that then you needed to go to a Rebbe to tell you what to do, and he will then be able to clarify it for you according to what you need to understand. What was clever about the way Torah Shabbat Peh was written down was it was still written down in such a way that it still needed a Rebbe. It was written down in such a way that it was not written to the pinnacle of clarity, such that now you just have a book that you open up and you don't need to ever talk to a mentor. That you still needed a Rebbe to understand what was going on in the mission. You find the Gemara is full of Masoras that the Amoraim had in understanding what the mission was meant to say, because that was maintaining the essence of what Torah Shabbat Peh was to enforce, to mandate, to require a relationship with the Rebbe, who will be able to explain to the student what everything is, not to leave it up to your interpretation, but to still require that there be a tradition, that there be a Torah Shabbat Peh, and even after the Gemara was written down, you still find this same Masorah, and you still find in the Rishonim that they are quoting the Masorahs of their Rebbeim of how to understand this Gemara. And at the end, that the wisdom of Torah Shabbat Peh, the wisdom of the way in which Torah Shabbat Peh was written down, it was not the ideal. The ideal was that there was nothing written down. We'll see later, we'll have a discussion about that. There were select people, they were called the Ma'atike Hashmua. There were select people in every generation who wrote their own notes, which they could refer to. But Torah Shabbat Peh was never meant to be, the notes were never given out. Torah Shabbat Peh was never meant to be that now you have something written down, and the people listening could take their own notes for their own reference to remember what they had learned, but Torah Shabbat Peh could never be taught as, here it is, take this book with you. tell us about that. There were the Ma'atike Yashmua who could write down their own notes, which they could teach from their notes, but they could never give over the notes. They were never meant to give something which could be taken as, this is the formula of Torah Shebaal Peh. And the idea was that there'd never be anything which was given over in writing. It was, E'atai Rishai La'omram Biksav. You are not allowed to say them through writing. You're not allowed to give over a formulated piece of writing. And even once, it was no longer possible to maintain Torah Shebaal Peh through that system, they still kept it in such a way that there was an aspect of it, there was a dimension of it, which was E'atai Rishai La'omram Biksav, which remained not written down, which required that relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud, between a teacher and a student, in order to maintain that there was always, you always have to go to someone and hear an explanation. You were required to have a Masora, a train of tradition, in order to follow what the Torah Shebaal Peh was, in order to have a grasp of what the Torah wants from you. So going back to the beginning, so we had our three questions. The three questions that we asked were, why are there these two things? There's the first point where the Rambam says that he was mitzaveh to the Zakenim Yeshua Shar Kolam, that he commanded the Torah Shebaal Peh to them, and then the second paragraph in which he said that he taught it to the Shiva Zakenim in his Beis Din. Second question was, why is there the Shinoi, why the difference between all of Yisrael versus just his Beis Din? And the third question that we asked was this very strange af al pi, that he said, even though it was not written down, it was given over to the Beis Din. So the first two questions we really already answered, but just to repeat, that there are these two different sentences in the Rambam are really reflecting two different aspects of how Torah Shebaal Peh is taught. There is the one which is that Torah Shebaal Peh is the instruction given to all of Klal Yisrael of how to keep the Torah Shebichsav. And then there's the second part, which is the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh is given over through Beis Din, and it's maintained, and it is limited to Beis Din to be the ones who are in charge of it. They're the ones who are able to then maintain the integrity of Torah Shebaal Peh, to be the ones who explain it in words which those who come to speak to them will be able to understand, and the phrases and the examples and the analogies which make sense to that generation and to that culture. And through that, there'll be the protection of the Torah Shebaal Peh is not given over to how do you decide to interpret this line, which is very similar to something which we saw in the Rambam when we were doing the Ikrim, that the Rambam says that the Tzadukim and the Baitusim, they really didn't want a Torah Shebichsav or a Torah Shebaal Peh. But they realize if they come up and say that the whole Torah is fake, that they'll get stoned to death. So what do they do instead? Is they challenged the tradition of Torah. And they challenged the Torah Shebaal Peh, and they said, you know, the Chachamim are giving it over, they don't really know what they're talking about, and how could you go so long without messing it up, and who knows if this is the way it is, and they basically rejected the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Rambam writes that what were they doing with that? They were really freeing themselves of the Torah Shebichsav as well. Because as soon as you don't have a Torah Shebaal Peh, Shara HaPerushim Lo Ninalu, the gates of explanation are never locked. You could say anything means whatever you want. Because you can reinterpret anything to mean whatever you want it to mean, as long as you don't have authorial intent, as long as you don't know, you don't have the explanation of what did the author mean when he said this, so it means whatever you want it to mean. The protection of the Torah, as soon as it becomes Bichsav, so now it's up for how do you understand these words. As long as it was a Torah Shebaal Peh, that I can tell you this is what it means, and we have the clear explanation, and there's nothing given up to my argument versus your, and we're with the dispute of how do we understand this. That is that was the role of Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore was given over to Beis Din to be the trustees of Torah Shebaal Peh each generation. The Af Al Pi, says the Rambam, even though it was not written down, Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to his Beis Din. The Rambam was explaining in the previous paragraph that all of the Torah Shebichsav, Moshe wrote it and gave it over to the Shratim, and then he wrote a copy which he put into the Aron, and we explained that as the Torah says, it should be there as an aid, it should be there as a testimony. How did Moshe Rabbeinu preserve the integrity of the Torah Shebet Tzav? The integrity of the Torah Shebet Tzav was preserved by writing a Sefer Torah, which was stored away, untouched, in the Aron. If there was ever a question of what the Torah is meant to say, you take that Sefer Torah and you'll check against that, because that is the ultimate bottom line. This is the Sefer Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. So the preservation of the Torah Shebet Tzav was executed through Ksiva, through writing it down. Says the Rambam, what about Torah Shebaal Peh? Af al pi shelo nichtav Torah Shebaal Peh. Even though Torah Shebaal Peh was not maintained, was not protected by writing it down, it was protected in a different way. Lim de Moshe Rabbeinu kula beis dino l'shivim zekanim. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it in his beis din to the shivim zekanim. Says the Rambam, even though Torah Shebaal Peh was not guarded by writing it down, it was still guarded in a different way. By teaching Torah Shebaal Peh to the beis din, that was the shmira, that was the protection, that was the act of preservation of Torah Shebaal Peh. Giving it to beis din and trusting them as the sole body with the authority to explain and teach Torah Shebaal Peh, that was the act of preserving Torah Shebaal Peh. The ultimate preservation of Torah Shebaal Peh was specifically through its remaining a Torah Shebaal Peh and remaining entrusted to Beis Din, and that everyone has to come to Beis Din to understand it, and then for it to be explained in each generation by Beis Din to the people, and by one Beis Din to the next Beis Din. That was the ultimate protection of Torah Shebaal Peh. The purpose of having a Torah Shebaal Peh, the purpose of having an oral Torah, ensures that confusion in the Torah is, or if everything had been possible to maintain according to the system that the Torah wanted, ensures that there will be a lack of misunderstandings of the Torah. As long as you have a Torah which is insisted upon being oral, requiring a conversation with a person who will make sure that you understand, explain it to you in the words and phrases that you relate to and that you understand, that was the ultimate protection of the authorial intent, the meaning that the original writing of the Torah, which wrote things in broad strokes, which wrote things in the general concept of the mitzvot, how are you meant to carry it out? What does the Torah want from you? That was in the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Torah Shebaal Peh, the ultimate clarity of the Torah was maintained through there being a Torah Shebaal Peh, through there being a relationship of a train of tradition, of a Rebbe to a Talmud, of someone you went to and you spoke to, and you got the explanation firsthand from someone who was able to explain it in terms that you could understand.